Our next speaker is Leah Hunt Hendricks. He's a doctoral candidate at Princeton University in the Religion, Ethics, and Politics program. Her research is in political theory and intellectual history, with a focus on the history of social movements and the construction of solidarity. She is an advisor to the Sister Fund and is on the board of Free Speech for People, an organization dedicated to restraining the overextension of corporate power and the role of money in politics. She's also involved with the Edge Funders Alliance, a funder affinity group committed to supporting trans, local, and global social movements. She was born in New York City and has lived in Egypt, Syria, and the West Bank. Her current passion is building community-based economic alternatives that can serve as beacons for a more just and sustainable economy. Please welcome Leah Hunt Hendricks.
Thanks. Well, I agree with everything Brendan said, but I'm going to try to take a more get into some of the obstacles, more of the obstacles on the movement side. Most of my background has been in progressive movements, and it's only been about a year or so that I've started getting into the idea of worker cooperatives. And so I'm curious, how many people in the room are really familiar with cooperatives, work at one, work with them, believe in them? Okay, so pretty good. How many people are skeptical of them? Okay. How many people spend time debating about socialism or identify on the side of socialism? Okay, great. Okay, so I think I want to get these obstacles really explicit. I bet a lot of people in here might ask the questions that I'm about to raise. So I think that it's important to get them the questions crystal clear so that then we can debate about the possible answers. So I think that we have there are a lot of theoretical questions and questions about strategy when it comes to cooperatives. But to back up and just say a little bit about my story, I was doing my PhD at Princeton and then had moved to New York when Occupy started. And so got involved then in September of 2011. And I found it fascinating, and particularly fascinating to think about the state of left ideologies in America today. And, Occupy there's all this tension with progressive progressive NGOs, and a lot of tension with Marxists and, the idea of party leadership or anything like that. And so I was in the midst of trying to sort this out, and then New Era happened in May. And I guess Brendan didn't say too much about the workers in Chicago had been fighting since 2008, basically, for their rights at this factory, Republic Windows and Doors. And in 2011, the factory decided to liquidate, and the workers came to Brendan and said, well, would you help us figure out how to buy the factory? And I jumped in then, and we went to Chicago and had to march and fight for the right to even be at the negotiating table to buy the factory. And finally, that was all successful, but it was a huge, long, drawn-out fight over the past year. But to me, it just made sense. It was the logical next thing to do after Occupy, sort of. This was Occupy hitting the ground, getting into the factories, Occupy resist produce. It all made sense. But when I talked to my folks in the progressive communities, there was resistance. There was the idea that, as Brendan said, what do co-ops have to do with power? What do they have to do with the global economy? What do they have to do with, fighting for regulations on the banks? What do they have to do with finance? How are they systemic transformation? So I wanted to back up a little bit into the history of worker cooperatives, and because these debates go back to the 19th century. Worker cooperatives and worker councils started in the late 19th century, and there was a lot of activity in this realm in the early 20th century in Europe and Latin America. It was a very radical thing. It was the workers taking control of the means of production. And in a sense, it manifested the end that communism was driving towards. But there was a lot of debate within communists and among Marxists about whether or not they were premature, because could they, if you start them within the context of capitalism, would they be crushed? And so there was one guy named Edward Bernstein in Germany who was arguing for progressive taxation, worker cooperatives, and he called it evolutionary socialism. And I want to flag that because I think you see a lot of people where evolution, not revolution. Like today, the idea of evolutionary is kind of, I feel like, popular again. I see it around, and I want to flag it as a potentially problematic concept when you think about the evolution of social forces, because it evaporates the agency out of. So this is. Okay, so we'll come back to that. But Bernstein was kind of, he was very popular in Germany. Do you all know about all of those debates? Okay, so my favorite Marxist is Rosa Luxemburg, and she hated Bernstein. And this is what she has to say about cooperatives. Cooperatives, especially cooperatives in the field of production, constitute a hybrid form in the midst of capitalism. They can be described as small units of socialized production within capitalist exchange. But in capitalist economy, exchanges dominate production. As a result of competition, the complete domination of the process of production by the interests of capital, that is, pitiless exploitation, becomes a condition for the survival of each enterprise. The workers forming a cooperative in the field of production are thus faced with the contradictory necessity of governing themselves with the utmost absolutism. They are obliged to take toward themselves the role of capitalist entrepreneur, a contradiction that accounts for the usual failure of production cooperatives, which either become pure capitalist enterprises or, if the workers' interests continue to predominate, end by dissolving. So that's a really harsh critique, but I think also one that we have to grapple with. If we think that these are potential a viable model, we need to have an answer to this critique. And that's where I think that the idea of working with progressive movements matters, because the question is about power and how to ensure that cooperatives don't get crushed, essentially, and become not just a vision of a future possibility, but actually a base for building power. And we are already seeing lots of examples of this, that National People's Action has started doing, 40-year visioning with their affiliates that are planning their vision for a new economy and how to develop this at the local level. New Era, I think, is a really good example of a movement-oriented cooperative. We're seeing a huge surge, I think, in worker direct action around Walmart and fast food industries, and that all have the potential to lead towards these things. And so I think to reiterate, co-ops matter because they break through the hegemony that capitalism is the only way that the capitalist has to rule over the workers, that the workers and owners are at odds. They matter also because they are schools of democracy. I think if you believe, if you're a Hegelian maybe, that people are formed by their practices, that our ability to become democratic citizens is partly a matter of our engaging in democracy at the, on an everyday level. And so within the workplace is an important place to be engaging those practices. And finally, they distribute wealth and potentially power. And so another quote from Luxemburg, she said, "We must conclude that the socialist movement is not bound to bourgeois democracy, but on the contrary, bourgeois democracy is bound to the socialist movement." And I think to rephrase it for our time, the distribution of wealth and power is not bound to democracy, but democracy is bound to the redistribution of wealth and power. And I think that the cooperative movement signals that way forward. So I hope that we can continue to grapple with those questions, and I hope that you have better answers than I do.